good evening, and welcome to our services tonight at O'Neill. If you are visiting, we are very happy that you're here, and we definitely welcome you back at any and every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. It was a week or so, maybe even a little bit longer ago, I had someone to approach me or to send me a message and ask me about preaching a lesson on Tried by Fire. It was a story that they had found on Facebook or through Messenger, and they'd sent it to me. So I tried to put something together here. So Tried by Fire, Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. There's a story that's told about a ladies' Bible study. And it's not O'Neill's ladies' Bible study, but it's just a Bible study in which the ladies come across a passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. In this passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, or actually I'll start in verse 1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of this covenant, who you delight in. Behold, he shall come, and behold the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner, and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and he shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." As they're going over this, and they're reading this passage, and they're kind of familiar with this passage, they're just kind of curious. He's going to sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. He's going to purify the sons of Levi. He's going to purge them like they do with gold and silver. And they're going to make this offering to the Lord. And this offering is going to be one that is going to be righteousness. So one of the ladies in this story, she decides, I'm going to go visit the silversmith. And I'm going to report to the others on what is said about the subject. So she goes, but she doesn't tell the silversmith the reason that she's there. And for her visit, and while she's there, she asks him to tell her, "Well, just tell me about the process. You know, what's the process of refining silver?" So he begins to tell her about the silver process. Now, refining a silver, they have to take the refiner will break up the natural ore, and in this natural ore, he'll place this unrefined silver. He'll place it into a crucible, which is this bowl that they use for firing, and he'll put this crucible. He'll put it in a heated furnace to remove the dross, to remove the impurities. So this would be kind of similar to what some of the natural ore would look like. And once they break it down, he would put it here into the crucible, and then they would start applying some heat. Now, once they have the heat, they're going to have some impurities. You see that some things in there that are black and specks and things? Those things would be the impurities that they would find in there. Now, as he's going through this, and he continues, and he tells them, "Well, you know, there are impurities in there. This dross is in there. And so to remove the dross, we have to increase the temperature a little higher." And it says to the refiner, he's going to continue this, adding this heat to remove the impurities until the silver is pure. So as the lady, she's listening to this process. She's very interested in what he's saying there, because her mind is still on Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. So she's listening there, and she said, "Well, sir, you know, do you watch while you work, or while the refining is going? Do you watch that process as it goes along?" And he says, "Well, yes, ma'am. I have to sit there. I must sit there. I've got to watch the furnace constantly. For if the time is necessary, the refining is exceeded to the slightest degree, the silver will be injured." So he's saying, "I have to be right there, sitting and watching. I have to watch this process that I'm going through of refining the silver, trying to get it to its purest forms. I have to sit there." So her mind again goes back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. And she kind of has this, she's like, "Oh, wow. How beautiful. What a comfort this statement is now, that as she sees that, as in Malachi 3, as he shall see it as a refiner and as a purifier of silver, as he's there sitting and he's having to be right there and he's watching what's happening in this process. He's purifying, he says, the sons of the Levi. He's purging them like he did gold and silver. Why is he doing that? So that their offering can be one that's done in righteousness." She realizes that God sees it as necessary to put children sometimes into the furnace. Put them into the furnace. Put them through some fiery trials sometimes. But his eye is steadily, is constantly on that work. He is watching them as they are purifying. He's watching them as intently on the purifying of them. His wisdom, His love, He says that they're engaged in the best manner for us. Our trials, our persecutions, our tribulations, the things that we go through, they're not unnoticed by God. Brother Guy talked a lot about that this morning and the things that we go through. The different problems that we have, family problems, job problems, just life problems that we have. So as she's continuing the story there and she's listening to the story, she thinks about, I got one more question to ask you. How do you know when the process is finished? How do you know when you're finished with this process? And he says, you know, that's quite simple. He says, when I see my image in the silver, the refining process is complete. When I see my image in the silver, my process is complete. So here you have, as they refined it, the dross is gone. The impurities are gone. You can see that it's very reflective. He can see His image there. How does that apply to you and me? What does this story have to do with you and I? Why do we go through trials? Why do we go through tribulations? Why do we go through grief? Why does bad things happen to good people sometimes? You see, sometimes he says the lesson here is that God allows us to go through hard times. He allows us to go through those hard times so that we can grow, so that we can become smooth, so that we can become shiny. You see, as children of God, no matter what happens in life, whether it's good things that happen to us, whether it's bad things that happen to us, that purpose is for making us to be more like Christ. See, in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, it says, He also did predestinate to be what? He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. As He's sitting there and as He's watching, as He's watching us go through these trials and He's watching us go through these tribulations, He's looking for something. He's looking for that image of Him to come out of us. His goal is for us to become that reflection, the reflection of Him that not only He can see, but the reflection that other people can see Him in us. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, what did Peter say? He said, Beloved, let think not it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it strange about this, that you're going to go through a trial. It's as though some strange thing has happened to you. But you're going to do what? You're going to rejoice, he says. You're going to rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you shall also be glad according with exceeding joy. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear if I'm going through something that's real hard. You rejoice about it. You be glad about that. You be glad that you're going through this. That's what Peter says to do, though. You be glad that you're going through a fiery trial. You be glad that you're going through this. We have no need to fear trials. We have no need to fear afflictions. Instead, we need to choose to focus on our Savior and what He can do for us so that we can be more like Him. So my question is, how are we to be more like Him? Well, we too have to go through the refining process, just as we just talked about it, the silver. Going through that refining process. Just as that hardened rock is broken down. So we have to be broken down. God's Word is like the hammer that will break us down. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, He says, Is it not my Word like as fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? That Word, His Word is like that, it's going to break us down. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what do we know about the Word of God? It's quick. It's powerful. It's stronger than any two-edged sword. It's stronger than any two-edged sword that piercing even the sunder, the soul and spirit. It's the joints of marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God does. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, 9, 10, 11 here, it says, My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is the rain? As the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and it returns not thither, but it waters the earth, that rain and that snow, it comes down, it has a purpose, it's watering the earth. Why is it watering the earth? It makes things to bring forth and bud, that it may bring seed to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. There's a purpose for that rain. There's a purpose for it gives strength and nourishment to the seed, so the seed can grow, so the seed can flourish, so that seed can give to bring forth fruit. He says, this is what my word will do. So shall my word do, he says, that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return in me void. The things that the Bible says, the words that are in the Bible, those words are for us to read, to study, to grow, for us to bring forth, to bud, so we can be like Him. He says it's not going to return back void. It's going to accomplish that which I please, and it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We have to get just, and so here we are, we're in this refining process. We have to be broken down sometimes, and just like the iron ore, the ore has to be put into that heating process, so we too, we have to be put into that furnace, just as the silver is. Our refiner, he has to sit there and he has to add that heat. He has to add that heat so that it's going to purify our heart. It's going to purify our heart. It's going to cleanse our character. It's going to take away those impurities. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, it says, the finding pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord, He tries the hearts. That's what He's looking at in me. That's what He's looking at in you. He's looking at our hearts. When you're going through fiery trials, when you're going through temptations, when things aren't going like you had as planned with your family or with your job or whatever, He's looking to see what you're going to do. What's your character? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put trust in with the gospel, even so we speak, He says, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. It's the gospel that we're going to be looking at, the gospel that we need to obey as we're striving to refine ourselves, to get rid of the impurities, that dross that He talked about with the silver. Those things that are those layers of impurities that you and I have. You see, the refiner, he uses that heat. He's going to purify that character. He's going to take away the dross in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. It says to take away the dross and the silver. Take away those impurities. There shall come forth a vessel for the finer. We're going to take those things away so that we can have something that's pleasing to give to God. Individually, what does dross mean? How does that dross represent this for me? Dross represents that wrong motive that I might have. Dross would represent that wrong attitude that I have sometimes. The wrong actions that I have sometimes. Anything that's going to keep us from being all that God wants us to be, that's the dross that's in our life, and that's the dross that needs to be taken away. See, sin is our dross. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know what the wages of sin is. We know it's death. We need to get rid of those things, and we know that as we look at other brethren and other examples, we look at the refining process here, and we look at Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to what he says here in chapter 6, verse starting in verse 9. He says, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We just add the word dross in there. Know ye not that dross, unrighteousness, impurities, those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, you don't be deceived. You don't be deceived about those things. Because fornicators and idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves and mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we continue that process of refining ourselves. We know what the Word says. The Word is chipping away at us as we may have those things in our life, maybe other things that we have in our life. The Word is chipping away at those things. He's adding the heat to us to let us know that we've got to get rid of those things out of our life. Our impurities, they're going to rise to the top. When you add heat to it, those things that are sinful, those things that are impure, those impurities, they're going to rise to the top. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver that is tried in a furnace, purified seven times. That's what happens when we go through trials. We're purified. We're made more pure. You remember what we said about the Corinthians just a few minutes ago when he said, those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But what he did say was, and such were some of you. See, the Corinthian brethren, they had impurities. They had things that they did not have, that they did not need in their life. But he said, such were some of you. They had to go through the refining process as well. And what happened to them? It says that they were washed. They were sanctified. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were purified from those things. They had went through that refining process. They got rid of those things out of their life because they knew that was not what God wanted. So the question is to me, why do I keep impurities in my life? Why do I keep dross in my life? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We can't run when we are weighted down with sin. We can't run. We can't do what He wants us to do when we're weighted down with the dross, with the impurities of this life. We've got to get rid of it. The Bible says that our refiner, He sits over us. He's refining that process to purify us. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, but He knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take, He says. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what happens when we go through the trials and when we are looking to be pure. When we go through the trials and we're not thinking so much about the trials as we are thinking about the one that's going to get us out of the trials, the one that's going to help us get through those trials. When we put our mind and our focus on Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need someone to lead us. We need to follow Jesus Christ. Psalms 119, verse 105, He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He has already lit the path. We have to choose to follow Him. In 1 John 1, verse 7, He says, But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're going to have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. What does it do? It cleanses us from all sin if we are in Him. Why do we go through trials? Why do we have to go through those things? Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 6. He says, Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through the manifold temptations. You're going to rejoice. There's going to be a little season. You're going to go through some heaviness. You're going to go through some temptations. He says that the trial of your faith, remember, we talked about silver, we talked about gold, precious metals. But the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though your faith is tried with fire, though you have to go through those fiery trials, it might be found unto praise, unto honor, unto glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to go through those trials, but when we go through those, as Brother Guy mentioned this morning, hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't let that go. He says, Whom having not seen, you love, and whom though you've not seen him, you see him not, you believe, you rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to be rejoicing with joy that's unspeakable. We're going to have glory that's beyond our imagination. When you and I are going through those fiery, through those trials, and we are being tried, and we are being tested as Christians. Our faith is being tested. How do we know when that process is finished? How do we know when that process is finished? In spite of building our lives on Jesus Christ, there are going to be times when you and I are going to go through the fire, but we will be purified. We're going to come out cleaner. We're going to come out brighter. We're going to come out tested and proved. Fire purifies what's good. Jesus knows what's inside of us. He knows what is worth saving. He knows that, you know, and when we think about our life, where are we laying our treasures up? Are we laying our treasures up in heaven? Are we making an idol of something here on this earth or of someone on this earth? Are we faithfully following God? Are we becoming spiritually arrogant where, you know, when we think about the Pharisee and the tax collector, thinking about that and looking down upon others? Is our refining process complete? How do we know it's complete? How do we know that it was complete with the silver? When he saw his reflection in him, we look at our reflection. We look at our reflection. In that reflection, when we look at ourselves, are all the impurities of this life, are they gone? Are they out of there? All the dross that the dross is there, is it gone? Are you 100% pure? That's what God wants. That's what He wants from us. Are you 100% without a doubt? Are you a faithful child of God? Am I a faithful child of God? When we're going through that fire, when we're being tested, that's what He wants. How do you know that the refining process is finished? Because in your reflection, you're going to see Jesus. In my reflection, I'm going to see Jesus. When we go through these trials, when we go through those things, we're going to see the Son of God, His character, living inside of us. What if we don't? What if we don't see that character? We know what He says in 1 John 1:9. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will just confess our sins, He's going to get rid of the dross. He's going to get rid of the impurities. He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What if we're not even a Christian? We need to become one. Become one tonight. Remove all the dross that may be in your life by being baptized. Just as Ananias told Saul, he says in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and now why are you sitting there? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting there, he says. He says, you arise and you be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When we let God refine us, when we let Him have His way with us, you find someone that is pleasing. You find someone who is acceptable to Him. If tonight, as you're looking in your reflection, as you're looking at that process that you may be going through and you don't see Jesus, won't you come to Him now as we stand and as we sing?